Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We made it through the rain and everything else. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're all here. Otherwise, there'd be no point in me being here. Which would be slightly awkward. My name is Brianne Chapman. I have been coming to Cox for about 2 and a bit years now. I have the privilege of being married to a wonderful man named Paul Chapman, who I think is through that secret window counting money or something. He's good at that. And I'm a primary teacher at one of our Sydney Adventist schools in Auburn. I teach year one. It's one of the most challenging yet rewarding things that I get to do. I'm the creative director here at Fox, and I enjoy doing praise and worship and a whole bunch of other stuff. Occasionally I make a coffee. Apologies if you're on, if you get a coffee that I made. No, I froth the milk, I'm good at frothing milk. And that's just a little bit about me, but before I go any further, I'd just like to pray before we get into the message this morning. Father in heaven, thank you that you've brought us here. Thank you that we live in a country where we can gather freely under your name, Jesus. We pray for those people around the world this morning who do not have that luxury, God. And we pray now as we meet that no one here would leave without having encountered you, God. That's the reason we come here, is because we love you. And so we thank you that you give us the honor and the privilege to be in your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. I want to start by telling you a funny story that happened to me at work, and my husband would attest that a lot of my funny stories actually come from work, because when you work with six-year-olds, a lot of funny things happen. And I have my classroom set up, and we do a lot of work on the mat, and I'm sitting at a chair, and I have the board, and all the children are set up on this colourful mat in rows so that I can see how they're going, I can see how they're learning, and I sit on a chair, like a grown-up sized chair, and they're obviously small and they're sitting on the ground. And I would like to say that this doesn't happen often, but it does, that I just cannot, and the women will hear me here, I cannot be bothered to shave my legs. I just can't. Like, who cares? I mean, look, Paul probably does, but I just cannot be bothered, and it's just a lot of effort, and we have a really small shower, and just, oh, it's too hard. Anyway, and I just don't really care. When with kids, who cares? Anyway, I have these children sitting in front of me, and I'm sitting down, and I have this sweet little boy. This was last year. This sweet little boy, and he's the child that's sitting right at my feet. And any teachers here in the room will know that the child who's sitting right in front of you is the special one that you love the most. Not that you love any more than the others, but there's that one that you just love a little extra, and just needed a little bit of extra support and a little bit of extra love, a little bit of extra encouragement. So I'm standing right here in front of me, and if you laid eyes on this child, I kid you not, he's the cutest thing I've ever seen. They're all cute, but he's especially cute. And he's sitting right there, and I'm teaching, and I've got my PowerPoint, and I'm reading from my thing, and I've got my pictures, and all of a sudden, I just go, ouch! I think you know where this is going. He's just looking down at my legs, and sometimes he would stroke them, which is fine, a little bit weird, but I move on. But apparently I had neglected to shave my legs so much that he was now pulling them out with his fingers as I'm trying to teach. This is not a joke. I'm serious. This actually happened. So I'm teaching and he's pulling out my leg hairs. And if this has ever happened to you, or if you've ever tried to pull out a hair with some tweezers, you know that it really hurts. And I just literally, I'm saying, we're doing our literacy. I'm like, what sound? What sound? Ouch! And I'm like, no, that's not a sound that we're learning. CH does not say ouch. Just says the chirp part at the end. And I look down and he just looks at me and we just make this eye contact. And I just look at him and I say, do not do that. In my most serious teacher voice, I say, do not do that. And he just looks at me. I haven't told anyone else in the class what's going on, but he just looks at me. And I have this thing that I do with my students, because often when they're sitting legs crossed, I can't blame them, but they like to look down at whatever is happening on the mat in front of them. So I have this system. I bought this bell It was like $2 off. Actually, I think it was $3 from a $2 shop, which I feel is not fair. Anyway. So I bought this bell last year, and it's been working really well. And how it works is, when we're ready, I just do chins up. As soon as I ring the bell, chins up. And all the kids, they have to lift their chins and look at the board. And I say to them, what we are learning is not written on the mat on the ground in front of you. The words that you need to be able to read are on the board. They're not down there. Chins up. Constantly, all day, chins up. My co-teacher, we share a door, so sometimes a bit of the sound. She's like, man, you really did a lot of the bell today. I'm like, yeah, no, sorry. Particularly at the start of the year, I'm just like, chins up, chins up, chins up. Constantly, constantly, chins up, chins up, chins up. And the kids are just like, looking up, trying to look up. And, oh, boy. I have to say, this year no one yet has... I'm trying to pull out my leg hairs. Maybe that's because it's the start-ish of the year and I'm still maintaining shaving them. I think as we move into winter, that will go out the window. But the reason I tell you this is that we're going through the book of Colossians. I swear, this has a purpose, what I'm telling you, I promise. We're going through the book of Colossians at the moment, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. I tell my students, chins up, chins up, chins up, constantly, all day. And what I want to ask you this morning is, what is your chins up that is reminding you to keep your eyes on Him? Not on whatever is happening at your feet as we're looking down on the mat. I tell you, we have like a little weird piece of fluff, some piece of rubbish, a small stick, a little gum nut, a 1 centimeter pencil. These are all things that the children might be playing with looking down as I'm trying to teach them. And every time I say chins up, they try to hide the thing that they've been looking at. They try to like stick it down their sock or something. And I've seen it. And I'm like, no, chins up. So when I read this and it says, keep your eyes on things above, not on things of earth, I think, I am just like the students in my class. I need that reminder. I need that bell telling me, hey, stop looking down at yourself, at the muck that you're in. Keep your eyes on Him. And so that's my first idea this morning. What is the bell? What is the ding that reminds you to lift your chin and to look up at Him, not to be focused on the things down near you? And in verse 3, it goes on to say that, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. We don't even need to focus on the things that are down at our feet distracting us, because God's word has told us that our life is hidden in Christ, and that is where my focus should be. I live in that confidence that He has actually hidden my life in Him, and He is at the right hand of God, which I think is amazing. And then I love this, because Paul is not only telling us that chins up, keep your eyes focused on above. He then tells us all the things, the bits of fluff, the weird little piece of plastic, the pen lid, all the things that we're looking down at in our lap instead of focusing on Him. In verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, the impurity, the passion, the evil, all of these things, including adultery, these things bring on the wrath of God. These are the things that when I say chins up, these are the things that my children try to like stick in their shoe, that hoping I didn't notice that they were playing with that gum nut or whatever it was. And here's the thing. When I see them do that, because I'm sitting up the front, I can see all of them, and they're tiny, and I'm bigger, I can see what they just did. I can see them just like tuck it under their leg, and I say, go and put that in the bin. So she stands up, she goes over, she puts it in the bin, she comes back to the mat. She thinks I haven't noticed that she's now put it in her mouth or somewhere else and not actually put it in the bin. So here's the thing. Whatever that thing is that I'm looking down at that's distracting me from God, whether it be greediness, selfishness, maybe some self-pity, maybe some jealousy, and I've got this reminder, hey, chins up. Maybe God's just said, hey, Brianna, can you go and put that in the bin? You don't need it. It's distracting you. It's stopping you from looking at what I'm trying to teach you, where I'm trying to lead you, what I'm trying to get you to do and achieve in your life. And so I say, okay, God, yep, I got it. Definitely heard you say that jealousy that I have for that person that has that thing that I really want that I don't have. I need to put it in the bin. So maybe I walk to the bin and then I just go, then just tuck it in my back pocket and walk back to God and be like, yes, I put it in the bin. It's gone now. But he's bigger than me. He can see the thing that I definitely did not put in the bin, that I didn't actually get rid of, that I didn't actually surrender to him. He knows that. And I love that because that's what Paul has said here. These are the things that we need to put aside that are not helping us focus on him. As we remember that these are the things we need to not focus on, it then tells us that these are the things that God's wrath is coming down on. Ooh. I'm like, oh, I don't want to preach a sermon with the word wrath in it. Scary word. It's probably what my students feel about me when I'm like, how'd you? But what I do like about this is that I was reminded as I read this that if you jump back up to verse 3, this is Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So even though Paul has told us these are the things that we need to get rid of, because God is going to be angry about these things, he has given us a reminder in the text that we don't actually have to be afraid of God's wrath because we are hidden in Christ. And the instructions that we're getting are actually to help us live the best life we can. So what is it that we might have to put in the bin this morning? And are we actually going to put it in the bin when God says, hey, that's distracting you? Or are we going to walk over, pretend, and then put it in our mouth or down our sock or in our back pocket and come back to God and kind of fake it? As we continue to read down in verse 10, so Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says this, you have put on a new self which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. And I love this because he's just said, these are all the things, don't judge, don't lie, don't steal. If you read through verse 5 to 9, there's a lot of things there. Anger and swearing and all these things, lying. Paul then tells us to put on our new self, which is being renewed. And I like this being renewed because it's not something that's just done one time and then you're good. It's like a continual thing. So every morning, chins up, put it in the bin. Chins up, put it in the bin. It's not like I told my students one time, don't ever look down, don't ever bring any little fidget spinner to the mat. And then if you do, then you're out. It's a constant thing. It's a constant thing that I'm reminding them. And that makes me feel good because I kind of see that God is actually doing the same with me. It's my image is being renewed. It's not one time renewed, done. It's a constant renewal of my image into the image of Christ, which I really love. And what that tells me is that I'm constantly heading back towards Eden. I'm constantly being renewed towards Eden and the plan that God had for us originally. And that's what we're all headed to, which I love. In verse 11, Paul says something really interesting. And before I read it, I'm going to tell you another story. This is not actually related to my children, but it's relevant. So I grew up on the Central Coast, which is North New South Wales Conference. And I didn't realize, but like all the conferences have kind of like got their own little vibe, got their own little culture going. And North New South Wales has Big Camp, which apparently got cancelled this year, but that's a whole other story. But we have Big Camp, and I had never been to Big Camp before, really, and I grew up in an awesome Christian home, and we went to an Adventist school, but we were just more Christian, not necessarily Adventist, but I loved my school, and I loved the worship team. And so I was in the worship team. As soon as I got into high school, I was like, yes, this is what I want to do, join the choir, and then got in the worship team, and then the worship
team leaders said, hey, we're going to take a group and we're going to go to North New South Wales big camp and we're going to lead in the junior tent. Now, the junior tent was like basically my age group. So it was like this awesome opportunity to go to big camp, this big camp that I'd never heard of, which everyone was like, it's just really big and it's really fun. I was like, okay, I'm coming. Sounds great. And so I was like, hey, mum and dad, this thing's happening. Mum and dad like, oh, cool. Dad looked it up on the map. He's like, this is a really beautiful place. My dad loves the beach. Big camp, for anyone who hasn't been, it's on the east coast. It's probably about 5 hours drive up the east coast, and there's a lot of beautiful beaches. So when I first got asked to do this first big camp, my family said, well, why don't we just all go and you know, we can just explore the area around while you do your music. I was like, yes, okay, I'm coming. This is awesome. So we turn up to big camp, and the way it works is there's literally a massive campground and people camp in tents, which I'm the first to admit I'm not really into the outdoors, much to my dad's deep disappointment, I think. So a lot of people camp, and then all the meetings are in these big tents, and there's like communal bathrooms and everything. And then a lot of people also stay in areas around, like there's heaps of cute little Airbnbs and like other campsites and that kind of thing. And so what my parents did was they rented a house in like a little close by town, and there was a couple of us, other like my cousins and stuff, staying there and whatever. And we had this rented house, and every morning my parents would just drive me into the big camp, drop me off, I'd do my rehearsals, I'd do my morning program, then I'd do the activities with the rest of the kids, then we'd do our afternoon practice, and then we'd do the evening program, and my parents would pick me up at the end of the day, and I'd go back to my nice Airbnb with my personal shower, toilet, and bed that wasn't going to flood, which is awesome. A couple of days in, I sort of noticed everyone had these wristbands. It's just like if you've ever been to a music festival or something like that. It's just like this plastic wristband that everyone gets to say that you've basically paid registration to be at the camp and to participate in the kids' activities or whatever. And I'm looking at my whole team, and everyone has a blue one. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Yeah, cool. But I had a pink one. And I was like, oh, how come you all have a blue one and I have a pink one? And then one of the boys on the team just straight up goes, oh, it's because you're not an Adventist. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. That's weird. And then it just became this thing for like the whole day, like, oh, it's because you're not an Adventist. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird, but all right. I'll kind of go with it. And then it was just this, they just kept joking about it all day. And I didn't really care that much because everyone was laughing about it. And I was still part of the team and doing all the things. And I could see a couple other people with pink wristbands. So I was like, okay, well, there's a few of us. I'm not like the only one with a pink wristband. There's like a couple others. I was like, oh, they're my people out there. The pink wristband. Woo. We should have like a club. And then at the end of the day, I went to one of the other mums of the mum of the teenager on the team who had said, oh, it's because you're not an Adventist. That's how teenage boys talk. Not really, but so I just went to her and I was like, oh, you know, he said that it's because I'm not an Adventist. And she's like, what? Like, you know, the pink wristband, yours is blue, mine is pink, you know, like, she's like, no, it's because you're not camping on the campground. It's because you're camping, you're not staying on camp, you've got a house, you're glamping basically in an Airbnb up the road. So it's just for like, you know, emergency purposes, if they know how many people are on site, how many people are off site, and they can keep track, and you pay less because you've already paid for your own house. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, it's not got nothing to do with that. I'm like, oh, right. So this whole time, it's had nothing to do with being an Adventist or not an Adventist. It's just that I'm smart. My family's smart. We don't want 3 centimeters of water coming through all of our things, meaning that my clothes are wet for the next 10 days. So actually the pink wristbands are superior is what you're telling me. And she thought that was very funny. But the reason I tell you this story is because Paul basically tells the people in the book of Colossians that there is no pink wristband and blue wristband. We are all wearing the same wristband, which is that we are all children of God. Because he says this in verse 11. There is no Greek or Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So my next thought for this morning is that there are no categories in the kingdom. There are no categories in the kingdom. There is no pink wristband and blue wristband. There is no on-site, off-site, Adventist, non-Adventist. Oh, don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but that's what Paul has said here, is that there's no categories in the kingdom. It doesn't matter where your cultural background is, what your family practices are. We are all in Christ, and I love that. I totally recovered about the wristband thing, by the way. It was fun. And then the next year, I stayed with that family, and I got a blue wristband, and I was like, oh, pink wristband was so much better. I didn't have to queue up. So take it from me. If you can get a pink wristband, definitely go with the pink wristband. The hot water is more certain. There are no categories in the kingdom. Something else that I thought about as I was reading through this passage of scripture, and this is back to what I do for a job, is something you learn when you're setting up your classroom and you go to PDs about behavior management and all this stuff, is that it's better to state a rule that you want someone to follow in a positive way. So instead of having the rule, no running in the classroom, you don't put that up on the poster, you say walking only in the classroom, because then you're getting the people, the kids, to focus on the thing that you do want. The classic one that happened to me in like my first 2 weeks of teaching was no yelling, no yelling, no yelling, no yelling! And I'm just like yelling at the children over there yelling, saying no yelling! And then like I was teaching older ones and they were like, Miss Grange, I was great, Miss Grange, you know you're yelling right now. And I'm like, be quiet. No yelling. No point saying no yelling if I'm just yelling over the top of them. And I love this because Paul has basically done this in this passage of scripture, because he said towards the top of the chapter, these are the things that I don't want you to do. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't be boasting or jealous. All right. But then he's flipped it and he said, okay, I can't just be yelling over the top of you, yelling, no yelling, because that's not very effective. So when we move to verse 12, he's listed the opposites. And I love this because this is what Heidi so beautifully demonstrated in her children's story. And I love myself a bit of fashion, Heidi, so I appreciated that. In verse 12, Paul says this, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if any of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So Paul has flipped it now, and he said, these are the things I don't want you to focus on. These are the things I want you to put in the bin. These are the things that we need to make sure that we're not consuming our thoughts with. But now he's flipped it, and now he said, no, actually, these are the things that I do want you to focus on. These are the things, chins up, that we are going to be focusing on. These are the things that we have to be reminded of. Love, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. And I love that, because this is where I actually need to be focusing. Because we know that when we focus on the positive things, they are the things that we start to actually become. So he's made sure that as we've read through this passage, we've got some tangible things that we should be focusing on. And then I love this, because what he's saying to me here when I read this is, where am I putting my focus? Am I putting my focus down in my lap at those little distracting things that he's asked me to put in the bin, when really what I should be focusing on is having my chin up, forgiveness, humility, patience? And then there's the big kicker, the one that he says, hey, this is the most important one. Like sometimes when I say, if you're going to learn anything today, please learn this. Verse 14 says, above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I love this because at the very beginning of our sermon series on Colossians, Pastor Marcus talked about chapter 1, verse 17, and it says that Jesus basically holds everything together. If you wanted to read that, it says this, chapter 1, verse 17, he, being Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then again, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is telling us, put on love, because love holds all things together. And when I read that, I just had this light bulb moment. I was like, hang on, I've heard this concept before. And so I Googled. And John, 1 John 4:16 says, and we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So all of a sudden we've just read through all these things that we should be focusing on, and we get this point that love is the most important thing. But we've already learned that Jesus holds everything together, and I already know that God is love. So when I'm focusing on love, I'm basically focusing on Jesus, and he's the one that holds all things together. So I'm not just focusing on what love is, I'm focusing on who love is. I'm focusing on who love is. Jesus is that love that we're focusing on. And the final thing that I want to leave with you this morning is in verse 15 to 17. Paul writes this, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every day, I need to make sure that I'm praying for that peace to rule in my heart, especially these days. A lot of people don't have that peace ruling in their hearts. And as I'm praying for that peace to rule in my heart, everything I do has to be done in thanks. Constantly giving thanks. Even in the most crazy situation, the very breath that we're breathing is a reason to give thanks to him. So I love this, because we've just read this short passage of scripture, and Paul has just outlined some of the most important things about being alive in Christ and what that means. So I just want to encourage you this morning, think about what is your chins up reminder to focus on him. What is that thing that you're going to put in your life? Is it a friend that you catch up with regularly? Is it a reminder on your phone that you have to stop and pray? Is it a text that you've put a post-it up on your bathroom mirror? Is it a ritual that you have with your, is it a ritual that you have with a partner or someone in your life that you do constantly to make sure that you stay on track? What is that bell that is reminding you to chin up, focus on him? And what is God asking you to put in the bin? Every time I see Ken bring that little piece of Lego to the front and he's got it in his lap and he's just doing that thing where he's looking down, maybe pulling out my leg hairs. What is that thing that God is asking you to put in the bin? And can you put it in the bin for good? Remember to keep your eyes focused on him. Keep your eyes focused on the love. And in all things, may we pray that peace rules in our heart and give thanks to him, because every good thing does come from him. So I'd just like to invite the team up. We're going to sing one last song. And as we sing, may you just try and reflect, I suppose, on what that thing is that you're going to put in the bin, what that thing is that you might implement to remind you to keep your eyes on him this morning. Thank you so much.
Father in heaven, thank you that you've given us a reminder in your word to keep our chins up, to focus on you, focus on love, God, which you ultimately are. Thank you that you've reminded us of the things that we do need to put in the bin, that we need to let go of, the things that are in our lap that are distracting us, moving our eyes down. Thank you that you've reminded us to keep our chins up. And I pray now, as we have lunch together, or we chat and hang out, we continue enjoying this Sabbath day, that you would help us to think over those things that could be a reminder to keep our chins up. The people in our life that we can have for accountability, the things we can do to strengthen our relationship with you, to strengthen our relationship with love. Thank you so much for each person here, and I pray that as we go today from this place, that you would remind us of what you would want us to do, Lord, to be more like you, to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.